Hey, welcome back to the show. How would it feel if you were able to stop worrying about your relationship or whether or not the person that you like is going to text you back? And instead, you were fully in your power and you felt grounded and safe in your nervous system. And from that place, you become more magnetic as a result. And how would it feel to say no and set boundaries without guilt? What would you be able to do with all of that time and energy that you'd get back? How would it feel to have a regulated nervous system so that you didn't get swept out to sea and overthinking and worrying about worst-case scenarios? And what if you knew how to bring yourself down from a trigger, and instead of being reactive, you knew how to respond calmly and intentionally? That is just a small fraction of what you would learn when you join my new program, Secure. And if you've heard me speak of alchemy in the past, think of this as the latest and more upgraded version of that program. This program will show you how to have the kind of relationship that is deep, mature, passionate, and built on a sturdy foundation of ownership, communication, and realness. So whether you're dating or in a relationship, you'll learn vital attachment tools and strategies to work towards being secure. You'll also learn how to engage with other attachment styles of the people that you're in relationship with or dating. You'll learn to unlock your self-expression, your confidence, your authenticity. No more hiding or holding back who you are in the world or playing small. You're going to learn how to overcome self-doubt, go after what you really want, and be who you're meant to be. And through it all, you'll be guided through deep nervous system work to rewire old patterns, create lasting change, and step into your best life. And yes, this is a live group program, and it is a small group so that you're getting individualized and personalized support from me directly. I will know exactly what your relationship patterns are, what you need support with, and I will be providing you with unique integration tools so that you know what to work on. And if the thought of group work makes you feel a little uncomfortable, then consider that there might actually be a very helpful and healing edge in that for you. Part of unlocking self-confidence and self-expression is about learning to do this work in relationship, and that's what the group environment sets up. If you've never done anything like this, it can bring up feelings of uncertainty, and that's normal. But if there's a part of your being that feels like this might be the right program for you, then send me a message on Instagram or email that says, "Learn more about Secure." And we'll have a conversation, and I'm happy to hear you out for all of your thoughts, your questions, and your needs. And if you do join, you'll receive a major discount because you came from the podcast. So it's really important to send me that phrase, which says, again, "Learn more about Secure," on Instagram or on email. I look forward to speaking with some of you about Secure, and now enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Creating Conscious Relationships podcast with your host, Janelle Annette. On this podcast, you're going to be receiving my best teachings, tools, and practices so that you can create a conscious relationship from the inside out. So no matter your relationship status, you're going to find everything you need here to help your relationships thrive, including the one with yourself. Okay, welcome back to another episode where we're going to be diving into why most relationships don't work out. And this is going to be a juicy episode. I'm going to go into so many helpful realizations and perspective shifts that are going to help you navigate relationships better and have a better chance at making them successful. So we'll really be highlighting what goes wrong, what mistakes people are commonly making, and what are some other things that you can do instead, how to catch relational issues early on rather than waiting until things are exploding. We'll talk about the origins of painful relationship dynamics and what can also be possible within the scope of a conscious relationship and what that looks like and how that can be what I would consider successful in a relationship or a successful relationship. We'll go through the four stages of relationship that every relationship progresses through. And we'll really just talk about healing from the inside out. So that's everything we're going to be chatting about today. Before we dive into all of that goodness, I want to let you know that Alchemy, my signature group program, is open for enrollment, and we're starting the next cohort in August. So Alchemy is really everything that I've learned over the past 5.5, 6 years of being in really deep study, understanding how to heal relationship patterns, how to understand what's going on in our subconscious mind, and how our subconscious mind is actually creating so many of the dynamics and relationships and situations in our life, how we're co-creating that based on all these unconscious motivations that are sitting beneath the surface. So I'll really be taking you through a deep dive of understanding how to get in contact with your unconscious narratives that are actually the driving force of your life, how to understand your relationship patterns, how to understand your relationship to yourself as well. We're really peeling through the layers of your belief systems, how you see yourself, and all of that is so that you can feel more contentment and connection internally, but also externally as well, right? So when we heal the relationship with ourselves, we heal the relationship that we have with the world around us, and that pertains to our relationship to others, to career, to even nature, and just our perspective. So really, when we heal our internal relationship, it is the birthplace of just fucking everything. Like, everything is possible outside of that. And that is such a beautiful thing. And that's why I'm such an advocate and a believer in this work. And I'm so excited and passionate to share, because these are the practices that absolutely allowed me to change my entire life. I would be dating really emotionally unavailable and surface level relationships that were just not fulfilling. And I was numbing all of my emotions. I looked like a completely different person. And I was honestly just engaging in lots of unhealthy behaviors. So through this entire healing journey that I've been on the last 6 or so years, and really going deep and going all in, I have learned so much and been very blessed to come across a path of work that truly makes change possible. So this isn't just about taking in more information and consuming and having awareness towards what's not working in your life. It's that, and it's going deep into, well, then what now? How do we actually make change possible? How do we actually rewrite a lot of these patterns and these narratives and heal from the inside out? And that's really where alchemy happens, right? Where we have this radical internal change that transfers into our day-to-day life. So we work on the mental level, we work on the body level, and we do lots of integrative healing practices right there on the live calls that actually allow you to take all the things that we're doing and transfer that into your day-to-day life. So I like to say alchemy is the practice ground for you to create radical change in your life, and you will be connecting to parts of you that you have kept pushed away and hidden for a long time. And that's going to allow you to connect with others more deeply in a more fulfilled and wholehearted way, as well as just feel more confident and self-expressed and self-accepting along the way. So it is an amazing program. You cannot find many like it, I promise you that. And of course, there are limited seats as well. And it is on an application basis. So if you are interested, DM me on Instagram, alchemyinfo, and let me know that you're coming from this episode, and I will give you all of the details and information that you need. Also, receive access to early bird offer from coming through here from the podcast. If you do decide to enroll, and if you are a fit for the program, that happens on a consultation call. So that won't be official until we've had some time to drop in and chat. But if you are a fit for alchemy, then you will be offered the early bird pricing and discounts and lots of other goodness. So without further ado, let's jump into the episode where we're going to be chatting about why most relationships don't work out, and what are some common mistakes you might be making now that you can catch and shift your behavior to do something differently. First of all, let's talk about at the very beginning of a relationship, when you are in the courting phase and you're still getting to know a person, because there's usually a lot of issues that happen from a very early point. And whether you're in a relationship or you're dating, this will all apply. And I'll just talk about the progression through relationship that you might be able to see yourself in some of these issues or some of these common ways of being and thinking that end up causing some discomfort and difficulties later down the line. Initially, a lot of the time when women are dating, they tend to enter into relationship rather blindly, right? They're in that desire to be picked by somebody, and they want to be seen as lovable, and they want to prove that they're worthy, and they want that commitment, and they want that connection. And sometimes that very thing leads women into choosing partners blindly rather than really choosing them based on mutual values and desires and even potentially the level of commitment. I hear a lot with my clients of they're getting involved with unavailable partners and they want all of this commitment and this depth, or at least before we work together, they're unwilling to have those conversations of what it is that they're looking for and what they want early on to really determine, is this somebody who's actually right for me, right? And the thing is that if we don't have the conversations, we don't really sit back and look at that person and go, is this really somebody that I want to allow into my life to that depth? And we end up getting swayed and we usually get attached early on, especially as sex starts to happen. There's all of this bonding hormones and chemicals that happen and you can not really see clearly. This happens in all relationships, especially as intimacy starts building. But if you haven't done that pre-qualifying before, you can find yourself in situations that don't feel that great because you haven't actually really thought it through before you went and got attached to somebody. So that's one of the things I see pretty commonly amongst clients and other women early on. And really being able to work through that is a journey in itself of understanding who you are, what you value, and then of course, working up the confidence to being able to state what you want and walk away from what you don't want. And that's a whole other journey, but that's something just to pay attention to if you notice yourself doing that. And then once people enter into a relationship, you know, there's all the chemicals and the hormones and everything's great and beautiful and wonderful. And then at a certain point, and we'll go into the stages of relationships in a bit, but at a certain point in the relationship, the masks come off, right? The rose-colored glasses come off and you start to see a person on a deeper level. And you might even think, you're not who I thought you were. And they're also likely thinking that about you, right? So there's all of this. They can do no wrong. They are the best. That maybe even an unconscious desire. This person's going to save me and become my everything. And you're both kind of projecting these hopes and dreams onto one another. And then at a certain point, again, those masks come off and you see the truth. And that is that your partner is an equally flawed and struggling human with their own sets of issues. But often the lens is not even that. It's that they're just wrong, right? So one of the biggest issues in relationship is this tendency that we have to put all of the blame on the other, right? It's so much easier to blame the other person rather than look within. And our ego loves to do this, right? And we're all very human in this. It's so much easier to say they're wrong, I'm right. And that creates a sense of safety where we're not having to challenge some of our deeper belief systems and also move into uncomfortable landscapes, right? Maybe part of taking ownership of your contribution to something that's not working in your relationship would require a lot of vulnerability. And that might feel really scary, right? And that maybe that's not something that you were conditioned to be able to do. Therefore, you're just going to stay in your defenses and go, no, it's them. I couldn't have possibly done this, or it's not on me, or whatever that might do. So with the inability to also be compassionate with ourselves, we tend to have these really rigid ideas and ideologies and not be able to see outside of that. So everyone else is wrong if they're not in agreeance. And another thing we do in relationship is we want our partner and really everyone around us to be like us, right? We want them to think like us and see the world like us and agree like us. When we start seeing that they don't, it becomes very confronting for our ego. And this is something we all naturally do. And it goes in line with what I was just saying in that it is confronting to have somebody be not in agreement with you, because then it makes you challenge your own beliefs and your own identity and the way that you have formed as a person, right? Meaning your ego. So anything that is a challenge to the ego feels very threatening. And that's why it's easy to say, you better be like me and think like me, otherwise you're wrong. And that's where we run into continual issues, because everyone is a complex makeup of their unique experiences. And that is something that we can never really fully grasp, right? We can try, we can be present and do our best to listen and inquire deeper. But in reality, we're all very unique in a lot of ways. And that can be challenging to accept. Another relational issue that I see is self-abandonment, right? And that usually looks like overgiving to the partner or people-pleasing, caretaking, right? So really just putting yourself out in service to the other and overextending past your capacity to do so. And with this kind of classic martyr role, it becomes a really big issue because it leads to resentment and it's not actually fair because you're not really speaking up for what you need and you're not setting boundaries and you're falling into this old pattern and this old role that was likely developed in your early childhood development in your family system, right? So again, always about leading with compassion and understanding. But realistically, if you're not speaking up for what you need and you're not setting boundaries, yet you're overextending yourself, that is a huge self-abandonment. And that is really honestly just on you to figure out how to communicate and understand your capacities and your needs and your boundaries better so that your partner can also feel safe receiving from you. Because if you feel as though when somebody gives something to you that they are expecting something back or they're resenting you for giving you that thing, it feels very unsafe to relate to that person. It's like, oh, can I actually accept this thing they're offering me? Are they doing this because they feel obligated? Are they going to be mad at me after? And there's all these things happening underneath the surface that create this disconnect because it's like, I sense on some level that this person doesn't actually want to give me this, right? Or maybe that person throws it in their face later and goes, look at all the things I did for you, and they're keeping score in their mind. And it's like, whoa, I thought that was just a gift, right? I thought that was something you had capacity to give. And how would I know that that wasn't something that you wanted to give, right? So again, in this work and in the work I offer with my clients, it's all about radical ownership and self-responsibility to understand that it takes two to fucking tango, and you are likely contributing to a lot of the things that are going on. And again, that doesn't mean that you should shame yourself, but it's just important to note. And one thing I mentioned in that is keeping score, right? So this is pretty common when we start to be in relationship and in partnership, and you know, you want to take care of one another and you want to do beautiful things for each other. And that's great. And that's needed. And it's so good to be of service, but it quickly becomes a scoreboard of I give you this, you give me that, or I've done XYZ for you and you haven't done anything. And we can tend to fixate on all the things that we've done and actually neglect to see that the way that they've been of service to us or to you, because it's not in the same way that you've been of service to them. So this can get tricky too. And really, if we talk about boundaries and being really truthful and honest with your partner, that means when you give and when you show up to do something for them, it's not about keeping score. It's not about owing. It's about giving from the depth of your being, from your true capacity and nothing more, and expecting nothing in return. And releasing your unconscious expectations, which is probably could be a whole other episode on those unconscious expectations we put on one another, and just being of service and just doing it out of love and out of wanting to be there for your partner. And part of being able to know how to do this is getting into a deeper relationship with your body and with your emotions and your capacity, because that's going to help you have an indication of what your capacity is to give and to not give, right? But if we're disconnected from our needs and our emotions, we're not going to know what our boundaries are or where to place them because we're just disconnected. And if you've been in a cycle of overgiving and people pleasing for a long time, that might be especially true for you, that you feel like, I don't really know who I am and where my capacities lie. And also all the fear that comes with setting boundaries and saying no and reining that energy back in, which again will surely be another episode, because lots to say on that, lots to say on so many things, which is why I'm so excited to be doing this podcast. And yeah, would also just love to hear your thoughts and reflections and questions on anything that I'm saying so I can continue just being of service and sharing more on all of this. And some final points on some of these mistakes that I see frequently that lead relationships to failure through my clients and through lots of my time studying relationship patterns is this unwillingness to communicate about the hard things and really just holding back. A lot of couples don't have practices that they go to do clearing conversations and to talk really vulnerably. And that's something I really, really encourage and my clients to do. And I give them practices because at the end of the day, sometimes we need structure to be really available to clear and to have those vulnerable conversations, because for many of us, it wasn't taught. We didn't have, you know, a model of healthy conflict resolution skills or being really open and honest, right? We probably witnessed our caregivers sweeping a lot of stuff under the rug, and which is what we learn to do ourselves, right? So it's totally fair. We might struggle to have that. And that's why, again, I'm all about utilizing practices and a structure. But if you notice that you're holding a lot of things back, or things make you upset and angry, and then you kind of find a way to go, it's not a big deal, I don't need to talk about it now, or I don't feel like getting into it now, or whatever, and you find a way to push it back rather than the true vulnerability it takes to bring it forward and how scary that can be, we end up holding on to all of this resentment and like, ugh, heaviness. And it builds. And then it's really hard to recover from that. It is, when we've been harboring resentment and frustration for months, weeks, years, even, like some couples do, the point that it can be really, really difficult to see your partner in truth and in a loving light. So something to note. And the final one is also this, I can do it myself mentality. So a lot of us feel like we can figure out these things on our own, and we can navigate these challenges on our own. But a lot of the time in relationship, there's just a lot of blind spots. And relationship itself can be a very potent healing container where you're not doing it on your own, but you're actually having someone who can see you and can call out your blind spots and can help you navigate that. But at the end of the day, if you can go to a guide or somebody who's skilled and trained in helping you navigate all the complexities of this, so much more work can get done, because you're not just living in your own mind and you're actually having people call out the things that they're seeing, or at least help you to connect that on a deeper level. And sometimes even going outside of your relationship is really healing, because it lets you step away from projections and all of the complicated emotional dynamics that are going on within a relationship, right? So being willing to get support. It's pretty common that a lot of either couples or people in relationship don't get support going deeper with these things until a crisis happens, right? And at that point, it might be too hard to recover from. With all of these issues that I just pointed out, and these struggles and these mistakes that I see that are very common, what do we need to see about where those formed? A lot of the work that I offer is about recognizing the patterns, bringing deeper awareness to all of these themes, and then also understanding the points of origin. Because when we have the point of origin, we can do a lot of healing work. And this isn't the only component in healing. There's actually much more to it. But it's really important for a compassionate lens and for an understanding lens, and to be able to do resolution work, we understand the origin points of how all these things developed. So I mentioned earlier that it's very common for most of us to have not witnessed healthy conflict resolution skills. It was likely very common that things were just swept under the rug and not talked about and not addressed. And that is something that really, really becomes obvious in relationship for all of the things that I said earlier. And one other way that these things can form is a disconnect from certain emotions. Okay, so I'm going to use the example of anger, which is one that I frequently talk about with my clients, because it just really translates and it's a pretty common one. But this can be true for any emotion. So if one is disconnected from specifically anger, right, they might have a really difficult time setting boundaries and speaking up for themselves. And a lot of the time when I talk about anger, people go, well, why would I want to connect more to my anger? Anger is bad. And when we have these ideas about what anger is, and we make certain emotions wrong or right or good or bad, we really limit our full experience and our full expression, and also some of the healthy behaviors that go along with emotions. There's a reason we have all the emotions we do. They all serve in a certain way. And so specifically with anger, like I said, it's all about our fire and our assertiveness and our boundary setting. Now, for many of us, we weren't modeled anger in a healthy way. It was explosive and dysregulated and probably full of conflict and blame and not really being able to meet each other in love. So it makes sense that a lot of us have this resistance to anger. But I really want to shed light on why it's actually so important to reconnect with. And this is a huge thing that I talk about with my clients, because it really brings us into our own personal power. So if that resonates with you, I would encourage you to explore, like, what was that emotion like in my family system? Did I feel it was safely expressed? I feel like I could go into that emotion safely or not. And just explore relationships with certain emotions that you might feel disconnected from. And this can be emotions like sadness, or even joy, right? Some of us are very looped around certain emotions and other emotions feel vulnerable. And definitely joy can be one of them. And for some of you, you might go, well, why would joy be hard? But truly for a lot of people, it is actually hard for them to experience. Maybe they didn't have much space to be joyful or playful as a kid, right? Maybe you had to grow up really quickly or be really serious. So whatever that might be, you can explore. But just learn to recognize how those emotions were modeled growing up for you, and then the belief systems that you hold about them today. And then further, how are they impacting your behavior, right? So when we cultivate a wider emotional range, when we allow ourselves to reconnect to the full spectrum of our emotions, the ones that were pushed down, the ones that were made not okay, and every other one, we can be seen more fully. We are more self-expressed. We are able to have more balance in our behaviors, right? And our boundaries, as well as our vulnerabilities and our openness and all the things that allow us to connect to other human beings. And so many other things that are just so important on a relational level, right? So all of this becomes accessible to us and really allows us to become more emotionally balanced and mature and connected and everything else. So that will help us open and have those vulnerable conversations and stop holding back and be able to listen to our partners without going into defenses, without making them wrong, right? And really just allowing ourselves to fully connect and listen rather than be caught up in our own personal drama. And another origin point of some of these difficulties that you might face in relationship is not really knowing your true self before you enter the relationship or, you know, during, of course. There's this common complaint of losing yourself in relationship, right? And that can come from a lack of a solid sense of self. And I'm not saying you can't do this when you're in relationship, you can, but a lot of the time in the time between relationship, when we're on our own, when we're in our own space and we're figuring out who we are without the person from the past, we do a lot of self-exploring and we develop a stronger sense of our identity. And if you're a serial monogamist and you haven't really had space between your relationship, that's a pattern in itself, it might feel really hard to know who is your true self separate from the other. Who is your true self when you're not a mesh, when you're not codependent with another, you're not just not in relationship. And if you don't have a solid sense of who you are and your own identity, it can get really messy when you're in relationship because there's this really deep sense of merging that happens and you can't really see outside of that. And you can't reconnect to what your actual needs are and you won't know how to state that and you won't know how to cultivate your own individuality, which is so important in maintaining a relationship, right? Part of what I'm talking about here is codependency, which is such a common experience. And I am going to go into that more specifically into an episode about losing self in relationship. But when we don't have that sense of individuation and knowing ourselves and knowing our needs, we can get really lost. And that also can result in resentment and just a lot of emotional issues and lack of clarity because of that. And something to understand here is that it's not actually about the partner themselves, because these issues are going to continue resurfacing in most relationships. So of course, sometimes the relationship you're in, you need to end it and it's just not working. And that's definitely true for a lot of relationships. But it's really important to recognize that we're always going to be having issues and things coming up in every relationship, no matter what. So it's really important to be willing and able to do the work that you can in each dynamic to heal, because it's not just about replacing that person to find liberation and freedom. These things are going to keep coming up because, again, you're co-creating a lot of these issues. It's not just them, right? So that's really important to understand. Through doing the work and uncovering how you're actually co-creating these patterns, you can have harmonious relationships, right? You can have relationships that support you in becoming the best version of yourself because they offer you a deep mirror into your mind and into what needs to be healed within yourself. I'm going to explain how we get to that stage by talking about the four stages of relationship, which I learned from one of my teachers, and his name is Phil T. Mistelberg. And he has a few books. You can look him up and you can find some of his books on Amazon. And I believe this is adapted from the book, The Course in Miracles, but this is his phrasing of the specific progression that relationships go through. So The first stage is the honeymoon phase, right? So this is when you're falling in love and you're seeing your partner as just the best. They could do no wrong, right? We're seeing through those rose-colored glasses. They seem like everything that you've ever wanted. And there's often a lot of unconscious desire for them to be the person that saves us from our discomfort and saves us from whatever struggles we face as a human. And it really is when we're often not seeing red flags and we're just really seeing through the lens of illusion, which is what we want them to be for us. And of course, there's lots of sexual tension and attraction and potentially even pedestaling that can happen of your partner. And it's a really fun, awesome phase. And every relationship does go through it. So just because there's some blindness here doesn't mean, you know, your relationship is wrong if it goes through this. This is just a natural initial bonding phase. And then at a certain point, relationships enter the power struggle, which is really the need to be right and both parties having that need. And this is where one another start to blame each other. And you might even feel as though that person that you're with is not who you thought that they were. So this stage is really potent because it actually reveals to us our deepest unhealed dynamics, often from our childhood, because most of what's happening in relationship is a mirror of our early childhood dynamics and our family system and everything like that. So a lot of push and pull dynamics can come out to play. A lot of unconscious expectations are not being met. There's a lot of frustration. And again, the temptation is to make your partner wrong. And typically, if we're remaining unconscious to this phase, we'll really become identified with that. They're definitely doing this wrong. And we're usually neglecting to see our own contribution or to really hear one another. And then through that, what can end up happening in the next stage is the dead zone. And this is where relationships tend to end, or you just succumb to a kind of settling and a disappointment. And really, there's just this level of not being total and full in your relationships because a lot of truth has been withheld and you just feel bored. This is often where passion begins to die out because there's been so much that has been held back. There's been so many defenses. There's been a lot of blaming and making the other person wrong. So naturally, that attraction and that seeing this person in this lovable light begins to fade. And like I said, relationships either end here or there's just this settling, this whatever, this feels safe enough and good enough and we'll stay here, but the passion's gone, the intimacy is gone, and the depth is gone as well. The next stage after this, which is the more hopeful stage, although challenging, is conscious relationship, right? And this is all the teachings that I'm really speaking to and that I offer in my work. And this is really where we can actually reignite passion and integrate with our shadow, right? So we can actually see the other as they are, shadow and all, and love them as well as ourself. So this stage is really possible through deep self-awareness and self-acceptance. And this is where true partnership really forms. And that's based on an understanding of the wholeness between you both, right? And this is where deep commitment and friendship are found. And of course, that can still mean there's passion and depth and aliveness in your relationship. But there's this deeper partnership that tends to take place through really knowing one another and really accepting for one another's wounds and for one another's insecurities and shadows, as well as for yourself. So ultimately, the principle in conscious relationship is that you can use your relationship as a way to grow to something bigger together. And it's really important in conscious relationship that we maintain our individuality, because what often is happening in relationships with that codependent dynamic I was speaking to earlier is that there's this losing of self and this enmeshment, and it's really challenging to grow. Whereas if you actually have two individuals coming together and using the relationship to grow to something higher within themselves and within their own life's journey, that's really the point of conscious relationship and why it can be so profound and healing. And it also allows us to heal a lot of our childhood wounds, right? Because playing out a lot of our childhood wounds inside of relationship. So when we understand how to work with all of these principles and this theory, we can actually heal from the inside out with the help of our hopefully loving and willing partners. I know a lot of this stuff can feel fairly daunting, and a lot of the time it's difficult to know where to start.
As I mentioned earlier, alchemy, it is the root. It has all of the tools, the teachings, the practices, the step-by-step tangible tools and exercises that can really take you into this depth to help you know your mind, to help you know your shadow, to help you know your wounds and where healing needs to happen so that when these things come up in relationship, either in your current relationship or in your future relationship, you'll know how to work through them with grace and in a way that's going to take you into more healing, into more self-expression and self-love and self-confidence, right? So inside the program, there's specific tools to develop healthy conflict resolution skills, going to help you reconnect to your fuller emotional range, going to take you through vulnerability practices and radical self-expression practices. And you're actually going to be witnessed by myself and by a group so that you can take all of this to the outside world and really integrate it. There's so many features. There's a conscious relationship toolkit so that when you're in relationship, there's specific practices you can go through with your partner to take it to that next level of depth and to stop holding back. There is a conscious dating toolkit to help you really understand how to pick partners that are in alignment with you, how to see red flags, how to know who you are, how to ask the right questions when going into a relationship before there is that attachment growing, and to really just enter that relationship with conscious awareness so that you can cultivate more depth and you can navigate the struggles as they naturally arise and just be more prepared to deal with it and have relationships that succeed and that last. And that can, again, help you heal as well. And of course, that also comes with your own sense of self-confidence and self-assuredness and self-knowingness that allows you to create the life that you want to live. So again, I know all of this are big, deep, complex concepts and can be hard to know how to apply in the moment. And that's really where alchemy comes in to take you through the progression and to guide you. And all you need is your willingness to look at your mind and to go deep, and the rest is taken care of, and you just get to be supported and held. And that's a really beautiful thing. And what actually makes change possible? So if you're wanting to join, send me a DM saying alchemy and you will get access to early bird pricing if you message me before June 20th, as well as first access to seats, as there's a limited number of seats and this is application basis. So just know that when you message me, it's not an immediate admission into the program. We'll have to have a conversation. I'm going to ask you lots of questions. We'll have a consultation call. And then from there, if I think you're a fit, I'll let you know and invite you to join the upcoming cohort. So that's all for today's episode. If you enjoyed this episode and got some value from it, please give it a review, write a comment, share it on your socials. All of this is so helpful and makes a huge difference for me and helps me continue creating lots of free value for you and for your relationships. And also spread it around because this work needs to be known and it needs to be spread. And I need your help in doing that. So thank you for tuning in. I would love to hear from you what your thoughts were about the episode, if you have any questions or just any insights that you want to share. And otherwise, you can tune back in for another episode next week. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, leave a rating, leave a review. You can also post to your social media and tag me, or better yet, reach out directly and let me know how the podcast impacted you. And we'll see you next week for another episode of Creating Conscious Relationships.